Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello, Freedomizers. I seem to be having issues. I can't seem to get a chat session going. Let me see what I can do. I'm going to play a quick song and be right back, hopefully. Hold on. Okay, seriously having some issues. I cannot get into a chat room at all. Gonna try one more thing, I hope. It really sucks. Would have issues for me. Not sure what I'm supposed to do at the moment. Hold on. I don't even know if anybody's even here. I'm probably just talking to myself. Let's see. I can't believe it's giving me this many issues. Of course, Paul comes home and all of a sudden everything goes to shit at home. All right, let's see. Maybe I can get in this way. Let's see. No, because it's not even opening a chat room. Wow, I really don't know what to do. Yes. File. Okay, let me go ahead and play something else, and then I'm going to see if I can't figure this out. A little bit frustrated right now. But, hey, here's Here's Fun Bob Basso. He plays Thomas Paine. He does a very good job, but with modern messages. So here you go.
This is America.
A beautiful necklace of rare gems, different colors from different places. If they could speak, you'd hear 171 languages. But the miracle that produced this necklace 233 years ago, in the greatest burst of freedom the world has ever seen, is this thin, fragile piece of string that holds all this diversity together and has made you the strongest and most prosperous nation on earth, allowing us all to remain different, but unified as a people, with this, the common bond, the thin, fragile piece of string, I am an American. The enemy within condemns this belief by shouting our differences are our strength. Yes, but only if you continue to be united behind one country, one culture, one language, one rule of law. There is no unity in a pluralistic society unless there is a common bond you all support. You cannot unite around differences. If this common bond is broken by any means, then there can be no common sense, because common history, common values, and common law no longer exist, and you've lost the United States of America, regardless of what state the economy is in. Now, the enemy within say you must destroy American sovereignty, open your borders, and become an international halfway house for the rest of the world, all paid for, of course, by you, which you can no longer now afford. Global democracy, global economy, global governance, lumping all human beings into a homogenous mankind that does not now nor ever has existed in reality. Convincing you that nationalism and pride in country is extremism. Engage the world, yes, but never surrender your independence to it. The dismantlers of your history, your traditions, your founding principles are the elite brain dead who have redefined the definition of liberalism to mean you serve the world best by giving away America's strength, raising taxes on the 60% of taxpayers who pay for the 40% who pay nothing, reinstigating the welfare state with more giveaway programs that effectively erase all dignity and personal responsibility and declare all minorities are helpless victims, not independent human beings. They've rewritten American history and have already brainwashed two generations of your children, taught to blame America first, to criticize before understanding the generosity and nobility of their own history. What you teach in your schools today becomes government policy tomorrow. How can you expect young people to appreciate their country when they've been taught a putrid lie by these dismantlers that America is the cause of all evil in the world? The dismantlers are the enemy, but not the problem. Then what or who is breaking our common bond? If you're the one who says our children are our future, but do nothing to stop the shameful disparity of quality of education between suburban schools and inner city schools, with 50% of black and brown children dropping out, becoming drug addicts, alcoholics, unemployable, with an 80% possibility of being a burden to society the rest of their lives, then you are the problem. If you are not on the phone, in the school board meetings, demanding excellence, but instead are pleading for a breakdown of the common bond with more bilingual education, costing the taxpayer billions of dollars and doing nothing to hasten assimilation, then you are breaking the common bond. Billions of dollars you can no longer afford. If you're all for lowering standards so everyone can pass, pushing stupidity and mediocrity toward graduation, then you are the problem. If you allow the dismantlers to label it anti-immigrant because you demand all newcomers enter legally, learn English, our history, and salute our flag, then you are the problem. It's not about discrimination, immigrant bashing, or a lack of charity. It's about maintaining the glue of your common bond and the rule of law. If you don't rise up and throw out your insane mayors and hypocritical bishops who declare sanctuary cities for lawbreakers, inviting more lawbreakers to come and drink at the well of the taxpayers' money, then you are the problem. If you're a white person who doesn't recognize the effects of slavery and years of welfare dependence have adversely affected black people, then you are the problem. If you're a black person who calls all criticism racist and halt all intelligent discussion, then you are the problem. I wrote the first anti-slavery essay in America in 1775. I founded the first abolitionist society in the country and wrote the first rough draft of the Declaration of Independence, specifically calling for an end to slavery. I know the ugly face of racism, and modern America is not a nation of racists. Opportunity and anti-discrimination laws have leveled the playing field. Take advantage of both and stop thinking of yourself as a victim. And understand, all conflicts are simply memories of the past. If you can't get over them, you condemn yourself to be destroyed by them. It's time to put away the race cards and unite behind the common bond. It's the strength without which there is no America. Your brave servicemen and women, black, white, brown, red, and all the colors in between, are giving their lives and their blood to protect you from the enemy without. It's your turn to stand up and defeat the enemy within. Restore your common bond. There have been 10 generations of Americans since this nation was founded. Each left this country in a little better condition than when they inherited from their parents. Yours is the first generation at risk of doing the opposite. Let that not be your epitaph. When America was being torn apart by the dividers and the dismantlers, the silent majority stood by and did nothing. Join the second American Revolution and fight for the common bond. It's your first and last best hope to preserve the life of America. My name is Thomas Paine. Yes, these are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. May you never be numbered among those cowards. Take back America now.
Hey, Nicole, are you here?
Yeah, I am. My computer's giving me issues. I'm trying to get logged in. I can't even open a chat room, but I'm here.
I have a chat room opened, but I have
your guest on. Awesome. My guest?
You have a guest? I see an unlisted number.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's cool. You can go ahead and pull him on as I'm restarting my computer. I couldn't even open a chat room. It's crazy. But I'm here, so that's
I opened a chat room, so we have one open.
Thank you. That's perfect. Go ahead and bring them on, and I'll do what I can while my system's going back on. Which everything's working.
All right.
It was just so odd, so hey.
Unlisted person, you're on the air with Nicole.
Yeah. So apparently they might not have been prepared to be on with me, but that's okay. We're here, of course, with PEDAL, People Ending Discrimination on Licks, and I do apologize for the current issues that are going on. So I'm a little bit lost at the moment. As soon as my system, it is restarting. I'm just trying to get it up and running. So let's see. Do. There it goes.
Well, your friend Daniel was on the Today Show.
Yeah, I was hearing you tell me about that. I really got to go look that up. And for those who don't know, he is actually what he's referred to as the Barefoot Professor. He's actually quite an interesting man, to say the least, and can tell you quite a bit of things about the benefits of actually being more natural and going barefoot for the simple reason that shoes and other things tend to actually cause us more issues than good. How are you feeling, Proof? You still sound pretty bad there.
Yeah, I'm. I was hoping I wouldn't have to go on air because it hurts to talk. Other than that, I'm okay.
Yeah, my computer's up. I'm pulling up Blog Talk right now. So
all right, I'm trying my
best
to keep you company.
I appreciate it. I really
do. I'm
really
not breaking company right now.
All right, I got the switchboard back up. Did you open the chat room under co-host or host so I know how
I'm
to
the
try
co-host,
again?
But
okay.
Once you got everything under control, I'll get out so that someone else can take it over.
No problem. All right. Well,
if I'm not going anywhere, if I'm not trying to be on air, I don't want to hog up a co-host line.
Yeah, of course not. And now my switchboard won't even load. What is with that today? I was doing just fine earlier because I actually uploaded some new sounds. All right, here we go. And then, look, I can actually see you as well. Okay. And I do appreciate you taking my mic back off mute. That's the one thing I was worried about when I did that. So, yeah, my switchboard is not opening or my chat room is not opening, but that's cool. I'm back online so we can move on from here. I do appreciate it, Proof. I really, really do. So what I'm going to do real fast, just for everybody, is I'm going to play a quick song and get readjusted real quick. I hope nobody minds. And then from there, I should be just fine because I can at least log in under Nikki and see the chat room now that you have it open. So we got that going. I'm going to play a quick song, get everything up and running, and we'll continue from there. So thank you so much, Proof. And I guess the unlisted caller, you know, whenever you want to talk, you've got the mic open as well. So I'm going to play a quick song, and we'll be right back. Thanks for hold on. Okay, sorry about that, Freakamizers. This is going to be a little odd. I am up and running, and I'm actually logged in under Freakamizer Radio on a separate browser, but because of, I don't know, because of issues, somehow it's not letting me open a chat session under there. So I went under a different browser, under my SeaMonkey, which is an old Netscape browser. I brought up the chat room, so at least I can view the chat room as that. But I am logged in as host and so forth under Freedomizer, under Internet Explorer, because for some reason that's what seems to work the best, at least from here, from my point of view. So I apologize for everybody for not being able to see you via being Freedomizer in the chat room, but other than that, I am up and running. I do have the switchboard up and running, and I am at least here. Thank you so much to Proof to at least bring up the chat room under co-host, because I wasn't sure what I was going to be able to do for that. I was having issues there. I guess if it's not one technical issue, it's got to be another, but hey, at least I'm here, and we do really miss Proof today, and I hope that he feels so much better. He sounds so bad. So, Proof, other than that, I'm seriously set. If you want to listen in, of course, we always welcome you anytime. And again, thank you so much for at least being able to open the chat room, because for some reason, I guess it didn't want me to talk to people today via chat. So, let's see. That definitely threw me off just slightly, but we are here. And of course, PETL is People Ending Discrimination on Looks, and we all do know how much of an issue that seems to permeate in our society, especially for the simple fact that recently, with what's been going on with TSA, you know, they're starting to scream, why don't we do profiling, you know, why don't we look at people and just view them for what they are, and then we can make judgments and see who we should check out. And it's kind of scary the way things are happening today. So I seriously think that this group is very important in us realizing that we were all very different people, but that difference doesn't have to be a negative thing, and it can be so very positive if we can just learn from each other and realize that differences don't mean that it's a negative thing that we have to be divided over. So, just so you know, Jamie, or Jaime, I'm not sure how you would pronounce it. So this show, People Ending Discrimination on Looks, will be on for the next 40 minutes or so, followed by my second show, Rise Above Dehumanization. And then following that, we have Survival Cooking with Dr. Pepper, which is always a great show to get you prepared for anything that you may need to know in case things go as bad as we all see them leading to. Beyond that, we have quite a few other awesome hosts that are a part of Freedomizer Radio. You can always look us up at freedomizerradio.com, and that is two R's in the middle. I'll go ahead and put in a quick link for that. And we have, like I said, we have some very awesome hosts and some very compelling, very compelling stories that are included as a part of this. So Saturdays are a little bit laid back. It is definitely a day to not be too serious and maybe look at things in a different light and be more positive. So like I said before, I am trying my best proof to be able to go on through Freedomizer, but the chat session will not open for me, and I can't seem to figure out why. It just keeps saying that it's having connection problems opening the chat room under Freedomizer Radio. So the password is open, and I am on the switchboard under Freedomizer Radio and under Freedomizer Radio's login information, but it's just not letting me open up a chat session. So it is very odd, and I'm not sure what to think. But I do keep trying, and it still doesn't seem to work. So, I'll do what I can. And I guess, let's see. Oh, man, that seriously caught me off guard. I had a couple stories, and I can't seem to access them through my normal means. So, I was going to have a guest on today. I had a tattoo artist planned from Canada by the name of Trevor Todorovich, except for the fact that he has not joined us yet, and hopefully he will be doing so soon. And as soon as he does, I'll be sure to bring him in. We were going to be talking about several issues. Also, he tends to be in Canada and does a lot of mudbogging in what we would consider a major southern hick up in Canada. Quite an interesting fellow and has some awesome tattoo work. And I'm truly hoping he will be joining us soon. If not, not a big deal. We can keep moving forward as we always try to do. Again, I'm quite happy at the fact that at least things are up and running and proof did get the chat room up going. So that's something I could not do. So let's see. Let me see if I can get in touch with our guest real fast. I'm going to try to give him a quick call. So since we're close enough to the half hour, and I hate to do this, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to play some quick ads real fast and get that out of the way, see if I can get a hold of our guest. And if not, like I said, we're going to keep moving forward. I see proof is going to begin.
Proof.
Yes, proof.
Hey, any reason why you're not on the on his Freedomizer Radio?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to tell you. I guess you didn't hear me when I saw your message, and I was trying to explain. For some reason, I am on I do have the switchboard open as Freedomizer Radio, and I do have everything else open as Freedomizer Radio, but it won't allow me to open the chat session. So I went in to my other accounts. I have both of them open. I have two different browsers. I have my Internet Explorer open as the Freedomizer, and then I went under
my
regular...
I shut it off while I was getting ready to call in, so that might have been why.
Yeah, no problem. So I logged in under my Nikki Nix account under SeaMonkey, which is that, so that I could at least view the chat. But other than that, I just can't open the chat session, but I do have my switchboard open and everything else.
Well,
so
do you want to hit the dial-out button then and call that way?
That's what I was about to do.
Okay, go ahead. I'll stop interrupting you. Go ahead.
No problem. Like I said, I'm going to play some quick ads real fast, and I'm going to try to get a hold of my guest real fast because he should have been here by now. And the person who called in apparently was not him. So I'm going to try to bring in the tattoo artist that I had planned for today and move from there. So I'm going to play some quick ads, maybe a quick song, and try to get a hold of him. If not, we can always move forward. That's never a problem here, of course. And so let me get started here. Let me start with the song, just because it might give me a little bit more time. Let's go ahead and do some Zsa-Zsa this time. And I should be right back. Let me find this. Da-da-da. There we go. So let me do this, people, and I do apologize, Freedomizers. Like I said, it's a little bit of a throwback today. I'm not understanding why I can't access what I need to access. But, hey, we roll with the punches when we have to. So here's a quick song, and then we'll play the quick ads for the half hour. I'll try to get a hold of my guest, and we'll move forward. So here you go.
This is a control grid to track and trace and make us second-class citizens. They are going to decide what sites you visit, and they're only going to allow a couple thousand sites. 99% of the web will be off-limits.
That the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
Howdy, folks. Buford T. Slaughter here. As part of my court-ordered agreement among my parole officer and my anger management coach, I'm required to do 40 hours of community service. That includes public service announcements. The U.S. Department of Agriculture needs you to go to sub-Saharan Africa as a penile sanitation inspector. After a four-week intensive course at the Barney Frank School of Penile Inspection, you will be sent to a hands-on job in sub-Saharan Africa to help the sub-Saharan Africans with their penile inspection. This will be fully funded by the taxpayers' money and it will not cost you a dime. You will be provided a good salary, a GS ranking, and accommodations in sub-Saharan Africa. If you are interested, we are hiring men and women to join the penile inspection process. Please go to the website at www.usda.gov. And by the way, hippies are people too, and you should not beat them up in a public street. Thank you for your time.
Ay, 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 le chupacabra, por qué?
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged? Call SNL Chupacabra Insurance today. SNL provides fast, speedy claims in the event of your goat farm being destroyed. Low rates, fast service, and professional attitude is what makes SNL your choice for Chupacabra Insurance. Call 855-CHUPA-NO today. 855-CHUPA-NO for a free rate quote. SNL Chupacabra Insurance. Just in case the Chupacabra comes.
Ay, ay, ay. Le Chupacabra.
Freedomizer Radio. Waking people up. They have their little puppets and underlings and cliques, and pretty much every government on this planet will do their bidding as they push us into this one world system. That's how it works. Somebody needs to carve that thing up, and I think I might be the man for the job. Be the man for the job. Job. Waking people up. Just a tinfoil. Waking people up. I got to break down the information. Waking people up. Every time I get to have this conversation, it, you know, it sends them a little deeper down the rabbit hole. Deeper down the rabbit hole. Look a little deeper. A little deeper. Freedomizer Radio. Waking. Freedomizer Radio. Waking people up. Waking.
Okay. Hey, Freedomizers. I was not only trying to get a hold of my guest that I had scheduled for today, but that didn't seem to work out. Can't seem to get him to answer the phone. Not sure what's happening. There's also a good chance that he jumped into a tattoo and just didn't have the availability this afternoon, because he was working from this morning trying to prepare for the winter and get as much work as possible. So I do know he was actually up, which, yes, usually about this time, tattoo artists are not. Even where I am here in Texas, say 2:30, this would be about wake-up time for most artists. So beyond that, as well as trying to get in touch with him, I was downloading another web browser to see if maybe that one would let me open up the chat session. But no, not even the new browser will let me open up the chat session. So as long as I'm logged under Freedomized Radio, for some reason, it's just not allowing me to see what anybody's saying. So hence why I also have the other chat room open. Seriously a little lost of things today. Apparently nothing seems to want to work out for me, but that's okay. I'm having problems now, like hearing about all this, I guess, profiling issues that seems to keep arising in the government due to the TSA's pat-down technique now. And I actually showed another video the other day. It was quite funny. It was called It's Not a Pat-Down, It's Not Molestation, It's the Freedom Pat. Yeah, we'll call it the Freedom Pat so that it sounds more equitable. It's kind of crazy in itself because the simple reason, okay, so you stand in a line in an airport, and if you look either desirable or completely undesirable, then, you know, they are definitely going to be pulling you aside to either Freedom Pat you down or, you know, whatever else they consider to be, you know, equitable under their eyes. So, and it looks like now that whoever else has decided to join us, we do have another caller, which is unlisted. Proof has opened up your mic for you. So if you want to say hi, of course you can say hi.
We are listening to you.
Hello, this wonderful Saturday afternoon. How is your Saturday?
Well, we are checking in to see if our agent Val Volano is going to run you through the department.
Yeah, so yeah, just like TSA, if you look a little off, then I guess, you know, you're going to be gone through some major restriction. You know, let's see. Looks like we. Oh, okay, cool. looks like your mic went off. I do apologize for that. I guess we're trying to be a little positive this Saturday. I mean, it is a wonderful day, so we're gonna talk about seriously, like the TSA thing. I'm having a serious issue with it right now. But this, you know, they push like people being wanting to be groped and do all these other things to make you feel very much not like yourself, you know, to where you stand up and you want to go up and do something against what seems to be this overwhelming police state that is happening. So if you look a little off, then they can pull you aside, or say if you have big breasts, seriously, they'll pull you aside. And then, hey, maybe you have a big package that they happen to notice. They'll pull you aside, too. You know, you never know what kind of people are there. And it's sad. So they keep on the same gloves as, you know, as they had on for the people that were before you. They say, on average, about 10 to a dozen people with the same gloves that they put on. And then they get to fill you up because you might look a certain way or, you know, it's, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I agree. The people that have been walking up to the airport now, they have them in bras and panties and or just boxers walking up, seriously, to go through the scannings. And you know what? When they opt out of the radiation machines so that you don't get impacted with all this evil, like, things that go through your body and just seriously destroy your health, then you can get in a line and decide to be patted down. But if you're wearing just bras and underwear, trust me, they don't pat you down, because what are you going to hide? They can't exactly feel past what you have to expose. And now they're talking, I love this. What is this? You could have explosive equipment in your incision or whatever, in your butt, in your boobs, right? So, yeah, that are, I don't know, plastic explosives, plastic, ha ha ha, kind of a play on words there, right? So if you have a big butt, you might have some bomb equipment in your butt, so they're going to have to look a little bit closer, squeeze a little harder, make sure that that it's actually a butt, not explosive equipment. That's seriously what they're going for right now. So for us to be able to avoid this kind of degradation and outright discrimination just because you may look a certain way, they're opting to go to profiling. And we're supposed to accept this and say, hey, that's good for us. I feel safer now. Ooh, they can profile us. Let them, like, decide on looks completely what a person is worth and whether they're worthy to be scrutinized on a more extreme level than the next person just because they may follow a certain religion or may go to a certain school and have a certain look to them at that moment in time. You know, hey, what happens when a school shows up to an airport for a major trip and they're all in uniform? Hey, there's a big gang going down the road. We better watch out for them. They have to be looked closely at. So you get these 14, 15, 16-year-olds running through to get pat down by these people because they look a certain way. This is insane, and none of it's right. And that's exactly what we're dealing with these days, and it's kind of one of those just scary things. And I don't know what to say. It's kind of weird. Although I do have a feeling I know who our infamous caller was, and I think he was trying to be a little facetious and funny. But I think that was most likely Uncle Buck there. I think I just recognized the voice thinking back. And look, it looks like Uncle Buck has returned here. Maybe he has some more terrorist views to spread our way. So let's say hi. Uncle Buck? Hello? Wait, hold on. There you are. Hello?
Welcome to the TSA, where we handle more packages than the U.S. Postal Service.
I heard that one, too. That one was good, wasn't it?
You want to fly? Drop your fly.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, that was quite funny.
Have you been run through Homeland Security yet?
Well, TSA and Homeland Security, they're basically one and the same thing, aren't they? I mean,
well, I don't know. Ask Val Milano. See if she's run her through Homeland Security yet.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Everyone in the chat room's been run through? With Val Milano and Homeland Security?
Well, right now, we're kind of, yeah. Not too many people are qualified yet. It's still a little early. But seriously, isn't it crazy what TSA, what TSA is trying to do? I mean, seriously, you can either be felt up or you can be discriminated against completely about the way you look. It's kind of, you could still go for the radiation, so.
Well, I'm going to wear a burqa.
Hey, just don't go to France. France considers that completely illegal for you to walk in public wearing a burqa.
Well, I think I saw a porn one time where the chick wearing a burqa.
I guess that goes with the old burlesque style, you know, the more you cover, the more it actually leaves to the imagination.
Exactly. Clothes are sexy.
Yeah. But it is funny, seriously. So now, like in France, did you know that? Seriously, that they have a new law that's actually on the books. It happened, I think, a month, 2 months ago, to where if it is illegal to go in public wearing a burqa.
I don't know, but I already miss Quiet Bear's show.
I think we all do. And I think we can all, like, try to convince him that, hey, not everybody's, like, you know, is so discriminating like others that he's seen. And I think that there's more of us here that truly take people for what they are and not necessarily the way they look or the way they, you know, come across. And I think the majority of people here still, honestly, have an open mind and try their best. And no one can ask more than to say that try your best to actually allow people to have their say. And it really is harsh for everyone involved when it's just a very minute few that tend to influence the rest of us. And it reminds me of seeing what you see on when they protest or when they show media of big riots and such. You always see the worst of the population going out and robbing, you know, or taking the TVs because, you know, it's not necessary. You should be, if you're going to take anything, take some food and water, you know. They always show those very one or two people out of the hundreds running by, and that's what we're supposed to believe, that that's the way man is supposed to be because that's what we see on TV. And I don't think that's right, you know. I think that maybe we can get over it and that there are actually more of us here that are not like that but are less vocal. So maybe we could be more vocal.
Well, I have yet to personally speak with Val Villano, but I'm just astonished with what I've heard. That it just astonishes me. So.
Yeah, and to see the whole thing, like, if you don't have anything to hide, then what's the reason in hiding anything, you know? And whatever happened to just privacy and allowing people to be themselves. And that especially plays a part in this. For the simple reason, hey, Generation Keeper says hi to you through the chat room.
It's called the right to be secure in your person. Fourth Amendment. Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, and when it comes to looks, because that's exactly what they're pushing for. I mean, we're said that there's so many terrorists and all these evil people around. So why not give up your freedom for a little, or your freedom or your rights just for a little security and safety? And I'm sorry, but the only people you see coming out in public right now that are getting in trouble because of their fight on terrorism have been FBI-generated scum. And I don't mean to say that in any way except to say, like, what the FBI is doing is wrong, because you can't just sit there and create an evil person because it's from your point of view, because you need someone to attack. And it's so sad to see that that is where we've come to right now.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm climbing the big path about Bakersfield into Mojave, so if I lose you, you know what happened. Yeah, I guess. We lost an incredible host, Quiet Bear. I mean, incredible. And his programs were so damn good and so informing.
Hey, you guys, let me jump in here because I'm on the phone, but I don't have much voice, so my words are going to be very minimal. Quiet Bear will still be here. I talked to him earlier today. We're going to try to rearrange his time slots, but he's going to stay where he's at until further notice.
Awesome.
Oh, all right.
See, today can be positive. Today's meant for positivity, and I think more than anything, just knowledge, which is a big deal, because if you come across things and you have the knowledge base, then there's not much that can be not be done. You know, we can do so much if you have the knowledge beforehand. That's why
Let me say this, Nick, our new sponsor there, I'm putting 10 grand in with them on this gold deal that I caught last night on the Snooper Chicks there program. So Monday morning I'll make my investment.
What's
and I'll
up?
Let
because I don't know anything about it.
Oh, there was an advertisement last night on Snoop Chicks about it's some gold company, and you put $10,000 in, and they guarantee the price it goes up or down. Yeah, it was on last night on Snoop Chicks. I called them up, left them a message.
Oh, because I'm
Monday
the one
morning.
That has to okay any ads, so that's why I'm wondering.
Oh, well, I it was on there. I thought you got a new customer.
Maybe we do. I don't know about it. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm. But usually I'm the one that would have to be known, right?
Yeah.
I thought you set it up. I thought,
yeah. See, information is important. That's what we're doing here.
Yeah. I said, all right, good for Chris. So, yeah. I don't know. Unless I'm losing my mind, but it was on the Snoop Chick show last night during the break.
So what? All right,
he puts money.
That's funny. It's any reason possible for me to be on the phone when I basically I'm using throat coat just to get by for like 15 minutes.
Well,
thank you. Now I got something else to call over.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm glad. Aquiver has like the most awesome shows, man. I am like, I was heartbroken yesterday, man. Heartbroken.
Hey, up before, back.
Yeah.
After you get off the air, I'm going to give you a call as well, and I'll make sure you have his number.
Great. What an awesome guy. What a sweet, kind man. Oh.
So let's talk more about information, because like I was saying, if you're prepared and you know what's coming to you, then you can just wear bra and underwear and show up and, you know, maybe bypass everything. You won't have to get pat down. You won't have to go through the radiation that comes from the machines. And all it took is, I guess, exposing yourself to the bear. So
Is
this a
good
thing?
Nikki,
no,
the
there have been
that?
Several. There have been several women. There have even been men that show up in nothing but boxers.
Or a speedo.
Yes, and that's what it takes, seriously, because at that point, what reason do they have to even pat you down? Because they can pretty much see anything that's involved. But now comes into play that they say that you can actually hide, say, plastique, and I love that word when it comes to this, but you can hide plastiques in your prosthetic boobs or prosthetic butt. And even though you would think that it would be obvious that you had a new incision, now they're saying that you having big boobs and big butt give them more reason to actually squeeze harder to make sure that there's nothing in between you and anything else.
Every guy's dream.
Yeah. So to avoid all this, instead we could... And instead of all this, we can deal with profiling racially and religiously or any other reason. You can belong to a school and now just go on to profiling by the TSA to avoid, say, the radiation or the non-human, totally disconnecting pat down, freedom pats now, the freedom pat.
Freedom pat. Oh, my gosh. So... I'm going to apply for the job where all hot chicks enter this lane.
Oh, my God. And so, like, if the police pull you over, right, and you're a chick, technically you have the right to have just another chick be the one. Okay, and that's probably a little offensive to some women. I apologize. I tend to use that word. if you're a woman... then you have the right to request another woman to actually pat you down so that you don't
right.
go through that same embarrassment from a man, which, I don't know, personally, whatever, it's up to anybody else. I think I'd rather have a guy feel me up than a woman, but that's just me if it comes down to it. But you have the right to request that. If you go through TSA, you don't have that right. Oh, yeah, that is another thing. The Muslim women now in full dress and everything else, because of their religious beliefs, they don't have to go through either. So if
nice.
You show up with the burqa, you can totally bypass it all.
No, you're supposed to pat yourself down and tell them, I am now patting down my breast area for explosives. Yeah, that's what I heard. It was on some news program. I am now patting down my inner thigh. I report to them as you do it. Oh, my God. Oh,
so
yeah,
for me
fun.
To tell everybody, because like Generation Keeper just asked, so why are people still flying? My thing is, why aren't more people flying? And why are the people that are flying, why are they going up to the major airlines? Why don't you go to the local airports, the ones that have smaller airlines or smaller personal planes that someone else could be more than willing to fly other people across to areas they need to go for a flight and probably less fee than what you will pay at an airline? To take you, And you don't have to go through the same sort of scrutiny. And if we all did that and actually moved to the, say, Ma and Pa organizations, then we can avoid TSA altogether. So we have the capability, but we don't think it's convenient enough. So that's the problem. The thing is this instant gratification world and society that seems to press the simple fact that we can move around this. We don't have to go through this process. There are other options. And I don't think not traveling is the key, because I think that's exactly what they're trying to accomplish. They don't want anybody to leave their home because they can't control you if you're moving.
Right, right. Bravo. Well said.
Cool. I appreciate that. But seriously, That's what I see right now, and I think we can seriously overcome it, and I don't think lack of travel is the answer. I think we should do more travel. I think we should do exactly what they're trying to prevent. And there are ways, and there are airlines to do so, but the problem is that we all think that it has to be easy, or it has to be the cheapest means, or the most convenient that's got to be down the road. There are ways. And if you can't fly on a plane, get in a car, drive away. Seriously, go see your family. It's what they're not wanting you to do. They're not wanting you to communicate with others, because when you communicate, you form bonds and you form alliances. And when you form alliances, then you have a common bond and something that you can stand up for and stand up with. And when you can stand up together, and the differences, even physical or otherwise, those no longer matter, because we have a common bond and one that means more than everybody else around. So seriously, if we have that bond, then no outside force can come and change that, because that works for our community, and anybody coming outside of that is not part of it. And therefore, it doesn't take that much. But we're so confused that think that we have to have this major violent uprising to be able to change society from the way it is, and it's the exact opposite. It takes small steps and little communities that can change everything. Because if you can take care of your community and those around you, then the government, the state, anybody else doesn't need to. And then you are outside of their jurisdiction, because you're not receiving their money. You don't have their regulations. You control yourself. That's all we have to do. And looks and all this other things that we tend to see just on the outside surface, it's such an illusion, and it's used for nothing more than division. And it's only united that we can come together. And if we accept this TSA rule and this TSA control so that we don't travel, then yes, that succeeds where we don't need it to. We need to stand up and realize we have the right to travel. We need to go see our family, so get up and go do it. Visit the local places. Don't go where TSA is. So what? There's lots of local airports that can fly to other local airports. But, you know, that's maybe a little bit inconvenient. It may be a smaller plane, but I pretty much, you know.
Be more convenient. Just, you know,
less of those
lines.
Crash. Less of those crash. Less people die in the smaller planes than they do in these large industry planes. So it's all a matter of confusion, and it doesn't take much for us to seriously step above that. But hey,
I heard the other day, Nick, that there was out of Colombia, a flight, 12 people, maybe 15, I think it was, something like that, and the guy had a small crocodile under his shirt, and it got out. People started freaking out, and basically they flipped the plane because they were like, you know, and the thing crashed. And guess who was the sole survivor?
The crocodile.
Yes!
Oh, man. That's funny. Okay, so on that note, that's the end of this hour. I'm going to put you on mute real quick, as long as my system's still working. So thank you so much, Uncle Buck, for calling in. We always do appreciate hearing from you. So hang in there, and of course I'll be returning. So if you want to, just, you know, stick in there. For everybody else listening, all you Freedomizers, I just wanted to say plain and simple that you've joined me, and luckily Proof was able to come in when his voice was working well enough. So we always thank Proof, This is, of course, his baby, his idea, his nonprofit organization, PEDAL, People Ending Discrimination on Looks. And next Saturday, I'm hoping we should have another guest, and we'll bring in, a hypnotherapist that can talk to you about how to maybe overcome some of the physical insecurities we have each of ourselves, and different viewpoint, which is always quite interesting. So coming up as well is me, of course, Rise Above Dehumanization with Nikki. So that's coming, and following that is Survival Cooking with Dr. Pepper. And, of course, we have tons of other great Freedomizer hosts here. And you can always look us up at freedomizerradio.com. And for any guests here in the chat room, I do highly suggest that you very quickly, and it is quite quick, and you don't have to release very much information, you can run up there and get a new username to join Blog Talk Radio, and you can join us in the chat room. So, and anybody who wants to call in can have always call area code 347-324-3704, or you can always go to the top of the screen and click on Skype, and you can join us that way as well. So, again, I do apologize not being able to be on Freedomizer as an actual Freedomizer icon here, but for some reason my computer doesn't want to log me into the chat room. But I am here. I've got everything else running, so should be a great hour coming up. And I do see Jay just joined us as well, so hey, Jay. And, of course, we got Generation Keeper and Docs come in. ABC's there, too, so hey, Alphabet. And I see Urbanos at the bottom. And, of course, all the other guests as well, and we do have Proof in the room. He's the one that's at Freedomizer co-host. Can't talk too well, but hey, he's here. So let me play this one quick thing. I was thinking about using as the beginning of my show, so y'all can let me know what you think, and I'll be right back with you.
The whole system that we live in drills into us that we're powerless, that we're weak, that our society is evil, that it's private, etc., and so forth. It's all a big, fat lie. We are powerful, beautiful, extraordinary. There is no reason why we cannot understand who we truly are, where we are going. There is no reason why the average individual cannot be fully empowered. We are incredibly powerful beings.
Now, I think I spent 30 years of my life, in the first 30, trying to become something. I wanted to become good at things. I wanted to become good at tennis. I wanted to become good at school and grades and everything I kind of viewed in that perspective. I'm not okay the way I am, but if I got good at things, I realized that I had the game wrong. The game was to find out what I already was. Find out what I already was.
We've been trained for individual differences to stand out. So you look at each person, the immediate hit is brighter, dumber, older, younger, richer, poorer, and we make all these dimensional distinctions, put them in categories and treat them that way. And we get so that we only see others as separate from ourselves in the ways in which they're separate. And one of the dramatic characteristics of experience is being with another person and suddenly seeing the ways in which they are like you, not different from you, and experiencing the fact that which is essence in you and which is essence in me is indeed one. The understanding that there is no other. It is all one. And I wasn't born Richard Alpert. I was just born as a human being. And then I learned this whole business of who I am and whether I'm good or bad or achieving or not, all that's learned along the way.
The old appeals to racial, sexual, religious chauvinism, to rabid
nationalist fervor are beginning not to work. A new consciousness is developing which sees the earth as a single organism and recognizes that an organism at war with itself is doomed.
Anyways, I really love that little clip, so I was seriously thinking about using that as the beginning of my own. It is even called We Are All One, but hey, I really do appreciate it, and I like it. So anyways, hi everybody, hi Freedomizers, this is Nikki Nix, and I'm here with you as we rise above dehumanization, which is such an overwhelming force that seems to be present in our society today and something that is so easily overcome. And it doesn't take much. It just means being people. And many of us may not know what that means. And it, you know, it's not necessarily the same meaning for every person around either. And more than anything, it is a self-discovery and something that one can only discover on their own. And it takes meeting yourself, meeting your neighbor, your family, your friends, your community, and basically actually being a part of it. That's the key, is actually being a part of life and actually being a part of this world around you. And may not be an easy discovery for all of us, but one that I think can be quite amazing if we just try. So, let's see. Thank you so much for Jay checking into the Freedomizer Radio slot. Thanks. I really do appreciate you checking in like that. I really wanted to make sure the chat room and everything else kept going since for some reason I can't. But we're going to bring in Uncle Buck right back. Your hand's still up, so hey, you're back with us. How's your trip so far?
1,100 Christmas trees to drop off to your area, the Dallas Metroplex. All five stops are at Walmart, Holly World. And I'm in Tehachapi with all these windmills all over the hills, and none of them are turning, but yet it's windier than a son of a bitch out here.
Hey, at least your truck is full now and not empty, so...
Yeah, that was the most storm, most snow they had in one period, like 100 years up there in Wenatchee, Washington. It was quite the deal. I couldn't even get up the ramp onto I-90 as I was empty, and I had these... Yeah, these guys going around me like 100 miles an hour on the side of their truck that said Louisiana, you know. Yeah, I was cracking up. But anyways. Hey, one of those little cube cars is passing me. Those are kind of neat looking, those little cubes.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, it looks like a little square box.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
I'm sure not
safe
those at all.
Nah, who knows? It reminds me of one of those eco domes. Have you looked at those, Nick? The eco dome?
No.
It's basically like an octagon you put together with, you know, metal, and then you put like chicken wire, and then they blow this foam all over it. It's like supposed to last for hundreds of years, and they put these little tiny round windows like all over the thing. Yeah, and you can stand on it while you blow the rest of the stuff in, and it's an eco-dome. I found those the other day. Yeah, it was really cool. It looked like a cave inside or something like out of Star Wars, you know.
Nice.
But check out. Yeah,
I
expect
to see, like, Wastemindu in there with his purple lightsaber.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I liked it.
Do you know that the purple lightsaber that he got was actually a concession just for good old Samuel? That was his request, is that he have a different color. And so his was actually different than anything that's ever been done. It was a big deal in the Star Trek or Star Wars series. Now, that doesn't show how much of a geek I really am, does it?
Well, now, whose lightsaber was it?
What was his name? It was Mace Windu. It was Samuel L. Jackson, the character that he played. That was actually a concession that he made himself, Samuel L. Jackson made, to get that certain color in the show, because he wanted to be a little different. But it's the first time that had ever been done, because if anybody's ever noticed, they were only ever two colors, at least for the good side. I mean, the red, and then you had the green and the blue. You never had purple.
But that was
something, that was his, so that just shows you how much of a geek I really can be. It's kind of sad. But hey, that's all right.
Good shows. I enjoyed them too.
I used to watch them so much. It's like I haven't seen TV in so long, you know, which is a very positive thing. But Star Trek, the Star Wars, I actually know every word by heart of all the Star Wars, the original three, which I guess would have been 4, 5, and 6, of course, starting with the New Hope. But
hey, I know every word in Tombstone.
Which one? Because man, that new Tombstone, awesome of a movie.
With Kurt Russell and
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer should have got an Academy Award for that, man. Playing Doc Holliday.
Oh my God, he did such a great job with the with the way he was coughing and everything. I mean, man, that movie.
He didn't even get an honorable mention. I mean, talk about the major overlook of that time with Val Kilmer, man. He was kicking butt in that picture, man.
Yeah, it was. That was quite a good one. There were a couple other good Westerns. I'm not a big Western fan, but there were a few. You know, I have to say, like, of all the future movies, if anybody's never seen it, you should see a movie called Immortal. Or The Immortal. It is by an author named, he goes by the name Inky Bilal, believe it or not. Inky Bilal, he has a Nikipol series, N-I-K-I-P-O-L series. And one of these is called a movie called Immortal. And it is like part CGI, part reality as well, like to where some characters are pure CGI, but some of them aren't. And those that aren't might even have like CGI hair or something that's just off the wall for real. And it's about like in the future when a pyramid actually comes back and overtakes some of the major cities. Looking
at
it has. Yes, and it has Anubis and a couple other, like, major of the Egyptian gods and things from the old stories. And they actually come back, and he tries to find Anubis himself is looking for a person who doesn't have any alterations done to them, because by this time most people have, like, genetic enhancements or machines added to their body, so they're not really people anymore, so he's not compatible with them. And he finds someone who's frozen from the past, from our time, that was a revolutionary who was fighting for man's free rights and everything like that, and he ended up getting frozen in time. And he was, and that's why he got frozen, was because he was fighting for people's rights. And it's kind of one of those amazing stories. And it has to do with the way we portray gods and everything, because most stories show them as pretty evil beings. When you look at the Egyptian, when you look at even Sumerian, and you get into some of my favorite, the Greek and Roman histories, and the gods were never exactly very kind creatures, you know. And so this story basically goes over that. It's an awesome story, and it's just one of those things. Some of his stories are quite interesting, but the fact that this man who has studied a lot of the old text goes by the name of Inky Bilal, which if anybody knows any one of those words would understand why that is such an interesting concept in itself. And Inky's son, which would have been he took the title of Ra at the end of it all, Inky did. I'm not talking the story. I'm talking according to the Sumerian texts. Inky's son, who was Marduk, took the name of Ra and tried to get rid of actually all the other gods noticed in society when it came to man. And this is according to the Sumerian texts. And so Inky's son was Marduk slash Ra, and also most likely Quetzalcoatl here in the U.S. And he was basically tried to destroy the history of the other gods to make him just the only one that had control over this world from the Sumerian, from the Nibiru gods. But hey, It's kind of an interesting story.
What's your take on Nibiru? What do you think? You think it's going to arrive here at 012?
I think, see, that's one of those things that's really hard to tell, okay? It's they've seen so much of those. Nibiru is a planet, and if anything, it's connected to a star, and it's the star is the thing that we need to worry about, not necessarily the planet, because it would be very rare that that planet would even come close enough, because most of the time, even the star is supposed to stay outside of the asteroid belt. The problem is that, like every star, it has things attached to it, its satellites, its planets. And say if it got close outside of the rings of the asteroid belt, and when we picture the asteroid belt, most people think of things on a completely straight line axis, okay? We think just on the x-axis, so to say, all right? So say the asteroid belt is not on a straight line and it's not just a ring of rocks. It's actually like a sphere that actually encloses the entire inner casing, okay? So what we see as a band is actually a band that exists on the X, Y, and Z axis. And I know that's a little technical for people, sorry, but the world and the universe don't exist on a straight line. So we can't conceive of the fact that the asteroids are just on the straight line as well. They're not. It's in a sphere-like casing, like kind of like an egg around that certain area, okay? So most of the time, when the star comes close, it's outside of this range, and it actually stops. The star itself would stop outside of the Oort cloud, and the Oort cloud is the asteroid band that exists past Pluto. For those that are not aware of these astrological terms, but when the sun stops there, you have to think of how far the planets go, and the planets would come in a lot further than say that sun would. And when the planets come in, now say they have moons as well attached to them. And this is the way the old story goes, is that it was a moon of one of the planets, Nibiru. It was the moon called Kingu, K-I-N.G-U. And it was that moon that hit Tiamat, which was a planet that would have been exactly where the asteroid belt is. And according to the story, that the moon hit that and broke the planet basically in half. And that planet actually coalesced, well, the half of the planet that existed coalesced and ended up what we now call Earth, or in the old text was called EA, and that's what it was called. It was called EA, and that's also, with the Sumerians, their names came from their titles, basically what they did in life. Hence why Enki became Enki, because he was originally called EA. It was something else, EA dot something, because he was sent here to help with this planet. And that's the way the story goes. And I know it sounds so odd to a lot of people, but it took a few million years, of course, and the Earth coalesced into what it is now. And that's why our oceans are so deep, or at least the Atlantic is. There are reasons why. And that's why so much of it was originally covered in water, was because Tiamat was known as the water planet. And that was before the Earth coalesced, and the other half being the asteroid belt. So it depends on your definition of when the Earth age even came about, because according to the old stories, this was part of another original planet. So are we talking like when this Earth coalesced or when it was part of another, you know? And this one has gone through some other, there's stories that our moon was not our moon. Our moon actually belonged with Nibiru, hence why it is here. It's different. But the sun supposedly comes around every, from what I understand, 36,000 years. And yes, or 3,600 years. It all depends on your translation of what the old texts and dates actually say. But they do tend to correspond, but I don't think it was going to be exactly the same date they have in the Mayan calendar, so much that the star was seen in 2003 through SOHO, or I think it was 2003, on its initial, I guess, rounding around our sun, and it's on its way back now. Yeah, things are going to get a little hairy, and things are going to change. I don't think it's what everybody expects either. It's not going to be a major destruction of everything. But then again, we have to conceive of the fact that creation doesn't happen without destruction. They are one and the same. And I know that's hard for people to understand. It's like life and death being tied. You can't have life and without the death of something else. I mean, even us eating plants requires that plant to die and for us to ingest, which gives us life. And it's all a major, everything is tied together. And there is this great love and energy that exists at the center of everything and touches everything. And no matter where you believe how man came, I've come not to believe in evolution anymore. And this comes from someone who left Christianity and turned to just about anything else I could find. And science seemed to be it, but evolution's not true, and it never happened. And there's no corroborating evidence. What I've come to find so far is that seriously, we were all created. And whether you believe that this great, wonderful, loving energy that is everything and a part of us as well created us, or even if you believe the Christian God did it, or if you believe the Anunnaki created us, no matter what you believe, this energy and knowledge and love that is the center of everything and part of the universe still exists in us, and we were created as perfect as the day we are now. It's the moment we were created, we had so much great possibility and capability as we do right now. And that's what people need to see and realize and wake up to, because we are so amazing and awesome. And we have such great capability that we could accomplish so much more than we do now. And it just takes this love and connection. That's it. That's it, because we truly are a part of it all. And this whole idea of the Anunnaki thing, it's great, because we need to find out our past, because I think that's important, and that keeps being hidden from us. And as long as we know our past, we won't repeat it. But the simple fact that this other star might exist and it's been hidden, and every time it gets close or has an interaction with our sun, we want to say that it's global warming. What happens that when we come to the realization, and this is what's been discovered across the universe, is that binary and trinary systems are commonplace. It is solitary star systems are not common. They don't happen. So we have to come to the conclusion and understanding that maybe there's more than one star here too. It might not be as bright, especially when you consider that what's been told in the past and in ancient past is that it would be a brown dwarf star. And a brown dwarf star doesn't have the visual frequency that would make it to, say, brighten up another world. So we're not going to have the same impact as, say, our sun does. But because it still has such great gravity and everything else, it's going to interact with our sun when it's close. And this doesn't take much to understand or come to, I guess, even a belief system from it. Because we don't need to tie ourselves to a particular idea or, say, religion or anything else, for the simple reason that we need an open mind. And as long as you keep an open mind, then anything is possible. And it's when you limit yourself that things no longer seem possible, you know, that a great event, it all of a sudden becomes magic and evil, because you don't have an open mind. You're not willing to conceive of something beyond the system you've been taught. And it's not that hard to overcome. And you don't have to give up your faith for this to be the case. It's something very easy, because faith is not a bad thing. Faith is awesome. Faith is necessary. We need to have faith in ourselves, and we need to have faith in others, and we need to have faith in this entity or this love and knowledge that exists and is everything, including us, including this earth. But we need to realize that we are a part of it. That we truly are God in physical form. We are part of the Trinity. We were only created for the simple reason that we need to exist and experience this world, and to wake up every day and see the sun or the moon or the clouds and the rain and the snow, the wind. It is so beautiful, because do you ever think anybody else has that opportunity? We're so worried about these outside forces, these aliens, you know? And do you know what these aliens want, what these entities want? they want to see this world because it is so amazing. It is more rare than we would ever imagine. It seriously is. It is so awesome. It is so beautiful. And it is what everything else desires. And yet we want to turn away and hide from it. We would rather go into our homes, turn on the TV, and be disconnected from this awesome experience that we...
Hey, I just passed a billboard. It said a laptop and a big screen TV on it, your phone, and it said, more freedom.
Right? It's like, it doesn't make sense. And it's so beautiful to see this world, and we don't even want to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's like living in a false reality. You're sitting here talking, and I'm reading this billboard, and I'm like, more freedom? What are you talking about? Look at that size. I mean, you look at these little screens, and that's where this whole DARPA transhumanism, if the U.S. military is totally on board for...
Yes.
Soldiers and
what about
brain.
Those helmets? Those helmets, yes. Those helmets that actually will help the soldier respond to command without actually putting any thought forward.
Right. They talk about
mind
beautiful
helmet.
Control. Yeah. Dude. No
for
kidding.
A better soldier, a better tomorrow.
Yeah. I was telling Gwen, I go up to the Four Corners area. They stop at the Ute Travel Center there with all the Ute Indians. And I asked them about, you know, there they go, the young people there. Do they go see any of their, you know, Indian elders? Do they teach any knowledge? Do they get any sweats? They're like, what are you talking about? No. I'm like, dude, you're whiter than I am. I'm more of an Indian than you are.
Oh, man. It is great. Well, hey, everybody, it's the halfway point, so I need to play some quick ads and then, of course, be right back with you. So let me do that, and then I got to take a potty break, so sorry, I was drinking a beer. And I need to go to the bathroom, too, so I got to play a song just to make sure I have enough time. So, hey, here's always a good one, and I know it's censored, so here's one of my favorite songs so far of all time. Just recently, but hey, I really like it. So here's, and it is censored. Is Dr. Miola in there today? No. Okay, cool. Well, no matter what, it is censored this time, I promise. Here's F the Fed.
Talking head. They have to stand up for our rights. They better read the Constitution. candidates debated till the people know exactly what to do.
You're back with Nikki Nix. So I guess I need to actually do the real commercials now that I did what I had to do. So let me do these and then we'll be right back.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, Freedomizers. Have you started your food storage yet? Are you dehydrating your own organic fruits and vegetables? Proof Negative here is going to tell you to check out dehydrate2store.com, where Tammy is going to show you how to dehydrate your own fruits and vegetables so that you can have the best food storage possible. Why waste money on inferior products when you could do it yourself? Easy. Check out dehydrate2store.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
All right. Hey, Freedomizers. Hope you're having a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. It really is a beautiful Saturday today. And, you know, I just have to say it's a good day to enjoy it, too. You know what I am going to do? I do have one clip I would really like to share. And then beyond that, we'll keep talking. So if anybody wants to call in between now and the end of the clip, it is 347-324-3704. There it is in the chat room as well. So anybody want to talk, be sure to call in. Now let me find what I'm going to play. I know, I'm so bad when it comes to this kind of thing. I'm never prepared. Oh, yeah. This was good. I heard this one earlier today. It is from a European clip, so hopefully the accent isn't too bad. But it really kind of will make you think, so hold on.
...of life now to something completely disconnected. Where are 1% of American adults?
Oh, I imagine we could find out, couldn't we? We could use Google Earth, because some of them are quite big.
You've
got your own postcode.
1% of the population, which is what the population is about.
300 million, isn't it?
So you're talking about between 2.5 and 3 million, say.
Jail.
Yes. G for jail. English spelling of jail, of course, but it is G for jail.
Really? That many people?
3 million people are locked up.
Well, 2.3, which is one in every 99.1 adults.
All of those guys there are innocent as well, because they all were arrested for having switchblades, but they've all only got one arm.
Proportionally, Americans imprison more than twice as many as South Africans, more than three times as many as the Iranians, more than six times as many as the Chinese. No society in history has imprisoned more of its citizens than the United States of America.
We're doing pretty well, though, don't we? We sort of topped the European league.
We're ahead of China, Turkey, and India.
Yes.
Yeah, with 148 prisoners per 100,000.
It's the three strikes and they're out.
That's been
really
the problem, yeah.
I mean, a legal system based on baseball just seems bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, we don't seem to understand the law. It's all very complicated. What's simple? What do people like? Baseball. Right then. Here's the rule.
Three strikes and you're out, yeah.
Mental.
What it means is if you're the first two strikes, the first two crimes you're convicted of are serious enough, the third one, no matter how trivial, will get a life sentence, 25 years or more. So, for example, Leandro Andrade is serving two consecutive 25-year terms for shoplifting 9 videotapes.
Or, he took 9?
Yes. Kevin Webber, 26 years for stealing 4 chocolate chip cookies. It's astonishing.
Well, it's really stupid, isn't it? Because you know you're on this sort of deal.
Yeah.
Hey, fine.
Yes.
That is the idea.
Do another murder. Do a bank job. There's no point
doing anything trivial.
You're
going to
get caught.
It is a bit bonkers. But the racial numbers are a bit worrying. And the gender numbers. It's 1 in 30 men aged 20 to 34 is behind bars. But for black males, that's 1 in 9. 1 in 9. There are more 17-year-old black people in jail than in college in America. So 5% of the world are Americans, 25% of all prisoners
are Americans.
Isn't
the real controversy with this the business end of it?
Well, that's true. It's also, as you say, rightly, it is a business.
And it's not just license plates. They make loads of stuff.
Well, one of the things I should have said when talking about contraband is that you're not allowed to bring into America anything that's been made by forced labor or prisons. But in America, you could almost say, if you were so minded, that they've reinvented the slave trade. They produce, for example, 100% of all military helmets, ammunition belts, bulletproof vests, ID tags and other items, uniform, 93% of domestically produced paints, 36% of home appliances, 21% of office furniture, which allows the United States to compete with factories in Mexico because, of course, obviously the workers can't refuse to work for 25 cents.
I'd very much like to say something hilarious, but something must be done.
It is.
It
is a bit amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
It's slavery by the back door.
It exactly. Isn't it?
Which is another video that I've got.
Found the door. If you're in prison, is there an incentive to you to work?
You get solitary confinement if you refuse to work. Yeah, more than 1 in 100 American adults are in jail.
Wow. So, just curious, what does that make you feel like when you hear that? Because it really made me a little upset. I'm going to bring back Uncle Buck real quick. Hey, Uncle Buck. Maybe not. That's cool. I don't know what y'all think, but that was kind of upsetting to me, especially to hear that 1 in 100 Americans are in jail. How about the free labor thing there? I'm still a little upset about that one. And yeah, like Jay just said, hey, coming up 20 minutes of Survival Cooking, he's got guest Carolyn, I'm probably going to butcher that name, Nicolason? Hey,
you there?
Yeah, you there?
Oh, I just had to take a little break here. I was going to go over 89, which is the backside of Dunsmuir down into Reno yesterday, and so I called the 511 in California, asked for the road report. They told me 89 was closed because of snow and volcanic ash.
Really?
Yeah, 511, that's Mount Shasta. And I said,
wow,
what?
No way. What about Mount St. Helens? I mean, that's up there too, isn't it?
Well, that's I'm talking about Northern California. And so people can dial in 511. I listened to it 3 times. I said, well, there's nothing on the news. That looks fine to me.
Wow.
It's closed because of snow. Hey, this is Highway 89.
goes to Highway 44 into Susanville,
and
California.
Volcanic ash.
Yeah, Mount Shasta. I mean, that's the two big volcanoes there, but I don't know. Maybe there's something I'm not comprehending, but I was close because of those things.
Wow, I think I'm a little bit caught off by that.
Yeah.
I mean, true, because I don't think I've seen anything anywhere about...
Me neither.
I mean, is that like a normal thing? Like they automatically, hey, here's snow, and since we're in this area, here's snow and volcanic ash?
Right, yeah, I've never heard of it. I would jump over the backside, save me time, so I'm mountain driving, but I was like, what? I listened three times, and anybody can go to California 511 road conditions. And Highway 89, it's Northern Cal. They'll give you two options, Northern Cal or Central Cal. So they'll do Northern Cal. So thought that was pretty interesting.
Seriously. So did you catch any of that from that last clip about, like, how many Americans are in jail compared to anywhere else?
Well, I know that it's a business, and the prisons are getting privatized by, like, former Blackwater. So they need more heads because that means more money, right?
Exactly. And that's what they were talking about. It was kind of like slave labor, too. They were saying, like, how much 100% of, like, all this military stuff is actually, like, helmets is produced by the military or by the prison force right now.
Wow.
No other, and then their gun belts, their ammunition carriers, all that kind of things are completely built by our prison force. And, you know, they can't do anything. They're not paid anything else. And that's the only way the government can actually combat the fees and things they would pay for even Mexican workers. They were saying it was cheaper to use our prison force than Mexican workers.
Wow. Well, you know, see, right there, I always feared that it would turn into such a fantastic business for private corporations to enslave and imprison people. And I'll be driving out in Nevada on these back roads in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, Texas, and there's nothing around these deserts, right? And then there's a megalithic prison there. And and you're like, what the hell? And it's scary. I mean, it's a huge prison with barbed wire. And, you know, unless you're out there in those little back roads, you never know it's there.
It's scary. But, hey, we're going to be a little bit positive now. I'm going to throw in another clip real fast while I have some time. And it's going to be positive things, so... You know, we have to end Saturday well, because it's a Saturday and it's beautiful and there's no other reason to. So, let me find the one I'm going to play. I think this is it right here. It's called We Are All One Consciousness. So, everybody enjoy, and we'll be right back.
What do I do every day, Mom? What do I do? Get up, catch the bus, go to work, come back home. Eat chips and go to bed, is that it?
It's what the rest of us do.
But I can't.
Why, because you're better than
us? No, I didn't mean that. But it was. It was a better life. I don't mean all the travelling and seeing aliens and spaceships and things. That don't matter. The doctor showed me a better way of living your life. You know he showed you too. That you don't just give up. You don't just let things happen. You make a stand. You say no. You have the guts to do what's right when everyone else just runs away.
This is today's flat earth. The fact that we live in the cutting edge of human evolution. The cutting edge of how far humanity has come. Turning a planet of enormous beauty into a shithole ain't the cutting edge of human evolution. As Michael Elner said. Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
Why are we always kill the guys who try and help us? Isn't that strange? We let the little demons run amok. Always. John Lennon, murdered. John Kennedy, murdered. Martin Luther King, murdered. Gandhi, murdered. Reagan, wounded. Yeah.
Bad fucking form.
You find that people that are in positions of apparent power, like prime ministers and presidents, are actually puppets of the real power, which doesn't put itself on public display. Why would it? I mean, does anyone really think that George W. Bush is running America? He probably couldn't tie his shoelaces, never mind run a country.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. I'm not a conspiracy nut. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what their promises, your promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist capitalist scum fucks who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little film screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film. And it's a shot of the Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. It looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go, the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First, we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
What I am is frustrated at watching Orwell's 1984 unfold in front of our eyes by the day, while people focus on who shot Phil Mitchell. That is frustrating, because my children and your children, thank you, are going to have to live, indeed, in the timescale so a week as we're living in it now, when the most basics of freedom are being taken away.
The average man and woman is in a trance. They get home from work, they don't even talk to their children. They turn the television on, and they let those corporate messages set the agenda in their lives.
All you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the fucking money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything you can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Divide and conquer is the motto. And as long as people continue to see themselves as separate from everything else, they lend themselves to being completely enslaved.
We've all seen vast herds or flocks of sheep controlled by a sheepdog and an authority figure called a shepherd. You imagine if just a significant number, not even half, of those sheep said, we're not going to succumb to fear of the sheepdog, and we are going to go our own way. And those sheep start going in their own way, they start expressing their uniqueness, and they stop acquiescing with the authority figure and succumbing to fear. Where's the power of the shepherd now? Where's the power of the sheepdog now? They have no power except in acquiescence by the mass of the sheep to the perceived power that they have. We need to start seeing humanity in these terms very, very quickly.
I've seen these as a great thing. And year after year, they somehow manage to pick food for themselves and you. So who is the weaker species? Ants don't serve grasshoppers. It's you who need us.
You know, when you go through all these
different levels of how we are attacked mentally, emotionally, and physically to suppress us and to hold us in this, in the box, in the bubble. That tells us something about us. What people don't realize. Oh, it's negative. No, it's not negative. It's extremely positive, if you want to use those terms. Because it's telling us who we really are. The level of suppression on multi-levels, in multi-ways, that they've had to go to and continue to go to hold us in servitude, shows the potential of genius and magnificence that we really are. And that's our natural state.
This is the difference between the power of our Creator and anything else, particularly evil. That you can go into a pitch black room full of evil, full of darkness, and light a little candle, and instantly that darkness flees. But you can't do the opposite. You can't go into a well-lit room full of truth and wisdom and righteousness and joy and health and harmony with the universe and power. You can't take off any amount of darkness and go into that well-lit room and have any effect whatsoever. That is the metaphor which I frequently think of when I think that I'm not empowered. It is the greatest lesson for me, and I think for everybody else, to know that we're on the winning side and that we're winning.
Today, a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we are the imagination of ourselves. Here's Tom with the weather.
See, that's just one of those things that can make you just feel good all together, at least in my opinion it can. But that's just me. I say there's no reason for all this division, and we are such awesome, great, amazing beings, and we were never dragging our knuckles, and we were never being brutes like what we're taught to believe, right? We were never that. And you don't have to, like, follow any religion to go against fighting, you know, science to say that you have to, if you don't follow religion, then you have to follow evolution. And dude, I've tried, and I can't find anything that shows evolution is the case either. But I'll tell you what I have found is that we were so amazing before now, and that we've been forced to forget just how great of a creature and how great of an amazing being we are, that we truly are God in physical form. You don't have to believe in a Christian God, because I don't. I really don't. Most Christians aren't Christian, but that's my opinion. You know, I don't see most Christians actually being Christ-like. I don't think most Christians actually have ever read the Bible, much less understood anything that Jesus ever said, because Jesus fought against the system that was in control, against the religion in power and against the government in power. He did it, and he did it nonviolently. The same thing we should do. But that's just me. I've learned. I moved on. I learned past that. I didn't limit myself to one way of thinking. I actually read past that one way of thinking. And I looked at other people's opinions and other people's stories and other people's religions and other people's pasts. And you know what I learned? they're alike. And we are alike because we are all people. We are all humans and we are all amazing. And every story I've come across tends to tell the same story, that we were all amazing to begin with. And that you don't have to know exactly where you came from to actually realize that the person next to you can benefit your life. That the person next to you is just as great as you are. And that they are not out to get you as much as you are not out to get them. That we truly are alike. And that we truly have an amazing power if we just stand together. But doing that also requires us to be a part of this world again. We need to go outside. We need to actually feel things. We need to communicate. You need to take your shoes off and actually feel the world. Seriously, that's just my opinion. Really get out and actually feel something. Don't wear your shoes to run outside on concrete, to run to your car, to roll up your window, to have the AC on with windows up, to go to a concrete building that you walk to between blacktop, to go sit in a cubicle, to be totally disconnected with recirculated air, which makes everybody sick, to then do this? Come on. How does that make you a part of anything? Seriously, get out, say hello, be a part of something. Be a part of each other. Be a part of yourself. Know yourself. Control your food. You control your food, you control your health. You control your health, you control your life. If you control your life, then no one else can. And if you have control of yourself, then maybe you can actually stand united and And to be able to confront people, and maybe they'll understand you because you're coming from a sincere, honest place. But hey, you've been with Nikki for the last 2 hours. Of course, prior was Peddle People Ending Discrimination on Looks, a nice proof negative baby that he started long ago that was a nonprofit organization. And then you were with me for Rise Above Dehumanization, which I hope we are all trying to be a little more human these days and be connected. But we have Jay coming up. He's going to be covering for Proof from Survivalist Cooking. So what I'm going to do is play a quick song, and I think I'll grab some Zsa Zsa real quick, the other one I didn't play. And we got Jay coming up, so everybody join him. And I'll see y'all on Monday. Have a great weekend and enjoy your day.
We're in the Matrix, now we're totally weighted. They infiltrated, finally the devil gave in. If you can't see me, just pump up the volume. McDonald's, Dan Laden, Osama, Obama, bring up something real, legalize. Everything on a bong hit is as blonde as
Madonna.
Radioactive, intergalactic. Counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly. Take the package, get some satisfaction. Radioactive, intergalactic. Counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly. Take the package, get some satisfaction.
Obligated in the light, on second thoughts, I'm back to fight. All they do is criticize, watch us more, see the slides. Halliburton, FEMA camps, opium, contraband, global warming, oil scams, energy now is on demand, from Tennessee to the Rio Grande, parrot shift is their jihad, our foolish wrong, our air stamp, mercury poison in the plan, thank God it's sucker bad, believing all the ads, get up and take stands, maybe I'll act when they call the draft, internal cover-ups, they've been paid to suck it shut, some call it brother love, this is just all the ducks. Have your oldest had enough? How much more do we have to snuff? This place is in the dust. Act quick or we might combust.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly. Take the package, get some satisfaction. Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly. Take the package, get some satisfaction.
Brave new world outside, survival, bitch or die. Enemies of genocide. They strike us down with lightning rod. They try to play like God, as if it were their job. It's all a false facade. Go plug it in your iPod. Secret societies, they put their eye on me. me like ivory, invade my privacy, some fiber optically, that's my property. I'll make a mockery, or if I go on a shopping spree, my life is gold imported. I'm not a supporter, they think they are immortal. Stay up at my little fortress, get the fluoride out my water. Drink enough, it will destroy us, the fact has been recorded. Wake up folks, the new world order.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly, take the package, get some satisfaction. Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly, take the package, get some satisfaction.
All right, Freedomizers, hey, welcome into the Survival Cooking Show here on this lovely Saturday. At least I hope it's good where you're at. I'm in Michigan, and it's pretty darn cold here. I hope Nikki, she just did the last 2 hours. I hope she's feeling better. Well, hey, we got a good show lined up for you guys. You guys know that I'm pretty passionate about prepping, and it's really a good opportunity for me to be able to fill in for Proof and for Dr. Prepper on these Saturday shows, because I'm pretty passionate about prepping, and Dr. Prepper's been doing this over 30 years, and I hope in another 20 years I'll be where he's at. So I'm going to waste no more time here. I want to bring my guest up, Carolyn. And I'm not even going to try to butcher your last name, Carolyn. I'll let you go ahead and let us know how to pronounce that.
It's exactly the way it's spelled. It's Nicolason.
Nicolason. Okay, cool.
Nicolason.
Cool. So how are you today?
I am doing great. And I'm in sunny California, and it is cold here, too.
What,
it's not sunny today.
Cold to
it's
you?
Cloudy
what's
and cold.
What's cold to you guys?
Low 40s. But it's
okay,
damp.
It hit 26 here last night.
Yeah, it's really damp, and it makes it feel worse. But anyway, I know. Wine, huh?
No, that's fine. I love the change of seasons here. I really do.
Yeah, I miss that. I miss the snow. I do.
I do too. And we haven't gotten a lot yet, but we will soon. And, you know, that's one thing that I've spoken with Dr. Prepper about when we spoke of prepping and preparedness and everything that goes along with it, is that it's very specific for everyone that does it. Climate-wise, the area of the country you live in versus a city versus a farm and whatnot.
Right.
And I was looking at your blog. The Totally Ready blog, and one of the first things, me being in the city here, and my browser just froze up on me. That's okay. That happens. Inopportune times. There we go. I got it. I was just looking at your blog, and you have areas, just so many different categories on the blog. How long have you been doing this blog?
I've been doing the blog for 4 years. I've been in prepping and teaching classes a lot longer than that, but I've been working on books and just doing a lot more writing for about 4 years. So it's fairly new.
Yeah,
but
that's great. Yeah, I was just looking at the city dwellers section because I'm in the city, so that's always interesting to me. But there's canning and gardening on here. I mean, just everything imaginable. And I just want to know why I haven't heard of this website until today. why isn't this website out there where the more prominent ones are? Because this one is excellent.
Thank you.
I think there's a lot of different blogs and survivalist sites and prepping sites, but this one is just, there's e-books on here, everything. I can see what I'm going to be doing for the next few days. What kind of research I'm going to be looking at.
Good. You have to send me your email so I can send you copies of the newsletter. There's tons of stuff in the newsletter, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's great. So what are you most passionate about as far as prepping goes?
You know, it kind of comes and goes. It kind of depends. I've had some really strange experiences. I was calling colleges, for example, about 3 years ago, calling all the colleges, finding out, you know, what kind of, you know, preps do you have in place? What would you suggest students bring with them? You know, what do you tell your kids? And it was really funny because I had one school in Hawaii that I hadn't called yet, but it was on my list. And I just, you know, felt really prompted, you know, driven to call it on Thursday. So I called over there on Thursday. On Friday, he emailed me a whole bunch of stuff. Sunday, they had an earthquake. And I had just done all this research, and so I immediately sat down and wrote a bunch of stuff out about, I know what's happening on campus today, because the power was out, the earthquake was on, you know, on Oahu, and that's, you know, where the school is. And so, anyway, and I've done that before. I've just had these feelings that, oh, I have to write about a pandemic. So I wrote several blog posts and a whole bunch in my newsletter, and I wrote for a magazine and several articles about pandemics, and that was in October, and then the following March we had a pandemic. So it's really odd, but I get these, you know, I don't know if it's heavenly inspiration or if it's just dumb luck, but so I get really passionate about things, and, you know, kind of right now it's food. Right now it's food because we live in the Central Valley in California, and the government in all of its wisdom has cut off our water supply here. And so farmers are having to go without planting crops, and we've had orchards die, and, you know, some of the orchards here, they've shaken their trees to get the blossoms off so they won't set fruit. So, you know, because it's more stressful for a tree to produce the fruit. So they're trying to keep their trees alive. And so right now, it's, for me, it's food, because I can see it coming down the pike that there's going to be a crisis in food. So right now, that's it.
Yeah, actually, I think most of us, at least most of us that go to Dr. Prepper's website and his Ray Radio show, and most of us here that listen to Freedomizer, we can kind of see it coming too. And it's a combination of many things. The economy, of course, would be one of them. But just the sheer shortage of food. I reported on a story yesterday that the grain supplies here in the U.S. are at historical lows. So it's not, I mean, it's a number of things, but it's, right. It just makes sense to prep up. And I got to agree with you about food and, of course, water. You have to have water to survive.
Oh, absolutely.
But what kind of system do you have in place for water? Or you just buy the bottled water?
Well, we do a big variety of things because we're on a well, and so if our power is out, we have no water. You know, other people, if, you know, there's some kind of contamination in the water system, that doesn't affect us because we're on a well. So, you know, so we are prepping for different things in different ways than maybe you would in the city. But, yeah, without power, we're sunk. So I have several, you know, 50-gallon drums. I think I have 5 of them. And then I have some bottled water that we just use, you know, that we just rotate through when we're taking a trip and grab a bottle from the car. And I have a water filter. And I have a Berkey filter. And we live close to a river, so I figure if I can get the water from the river up to my house, then I have the filter to filter it. So we have several things. And then I'm a huge, huge believer in storing canned foods, not dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. I mean, I think they have their place, but I think if that's what your food storage is, I think that's a mistake. Because if you have your food in cans, then you have the liquid that's in the can. And so then that can also be used to, you know, to hydrate you or to cook your other foods. You know, you can cook pasta in, you know, in the water that green beans were in. So, So we do a big variety of things.
Yeah, the canned food thing, that's something that I do stock up on is canned goods, but I never would have considered using that water. Thanks a lot. That's a great tip. That it really is a great tip, honestly. I never would have considered using that water. And, of course, you think about it now, things are good, you don't have to worry about it. But in a survival situation, you know, that might be the only little bit of decent water that you get.
Right. You know it's safe, and it will cook your rice, and so you use it. And the syrups that are in fruit are great for, like, oatmeal and things like that. They flavor the oatmeal when, you know, when you're cooking it, and then you – but it cooks it.
Wow. See, another thing, because I do have a lot of fruit stored up in cans. Because I love fruits and vegetables, and I know there's going to come a time where getting fresh fruits and vegetables are going to be hard to come by. So I stock up on fruits and vegetables. That's another great idea, a little bit of juice in the canned food, because it does, that is, some of the stuff is really thick, heavy syrup, and what do? You usually dump it down the drain anyway.
Right.
But yeah, great idea. Wow. This is awesome.
Right. Yeah, well, I have a degree in home economics education, and so I've always been kind of a foodie anyway, and our family's always lived on kind of a tight budget, and we have four kids, so that means lots of extra kids in the house all the time, and how do you feed them? And so I've kind of gotten into the habit of looking at things and trying to think of, you know, two or three ways I could use them. So, but it's been really beneficial where food storage is concerned to, you know, kind of think a little bit out of the box. One of the other things I do, now this won't work for you, but for people who are who can, your canning jars, you know, that's another great way to store water, is in your canning jars, because, you know, what do you do with them once you eat the fruit and vegetables or meats or whatever you had canned? The jar just sits on your shelf empty, so fill it with water and put it on the shelf with water in it.
Well, wow, that's a good idea too, man. Are you into sprouting at all? I know Dr. Parker says he's pretty passionate about that. It's something that I haven't gotten into yet, but I'm really looking into it. I just wanted to know if you're into that also, because I might be missing the boat here.
Well, sprouting is great because it gives you another way to use, you know, things like your wheat and your beans and things like that, so that, because there is such a thing as food fatigue. And right now we've got a college student who's living with us, and every morning she eats oatmeal for breakfast, and, you know, I keep saying, oh, my goodness, oatmeal every morning. And so yesterday morning we were going to go shopping and, you know, do the Christmas shopping thing. And so I got up and I made oatmeal, and she came out and she said, would you mind if I ate something else? I just can't choke oatmeal down anymore. And it was the perfect demonstration of food fatigue. After a while, you get tired of the same foods. Your body does actually physically get tired of the same foods. And so your body has a hard time then. You have a hard time eating it because of that, because your body is saying, not again. And especially young children have a really difficult time, and the elderly have a really difficult time with food fatigue. So sprouting is great for that because it gives you another way. And, of course, it increases the vitamin C and those types of nutrients after you sprout it. So it gives you the nutrients that you would get in fresh vegetables and when you can't get fresh vegetables. So sprouting is great. I am not an expert. I'm sure Dr. Prepper is much more of an expert than I am.
Yeah. That's no slight to you, but I'm agreeing with you. He is an expert. Many things prepping. And even he says, even he admits, he's still learning. So I take that to heart because it's nice to know that he's been doing it for over 30 years and he's still learning, and I'm just now 12 years into it. So I know I've got a ways to go, and I don't feel so frustrated anymore because every time I find out new information, I'm like, darn, you know, I didn't know that already. So it's really cool. And I was just looking over your store, your online store there. What a lot of good stuff on the store. I was looking at all the kits. And good prices, too, on this stuff.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm kind of phasing out of that because I've been trying to concentrate on writing. Because I've just felt I've had so many people in the last couple of years, you know, comment to me that they just have a feeling something's going to happen. They just have this feeling that they need to be preparing, you know, and it's almost always with those exact words. I have a feeling that, and then they'll go on. And so I have felt that it was more important for me to be writing and to be getting information, good information that was well researched and easy to follow and not too expensive, you know, to accomplish your goals. It was more important for me to be writing than it was for me to be selling kits because there's so many people out there selling kits. But there's truthfully not a lot of really good information. a lot of people have blogs about preparedness, but a lot of them, it's more of a hobby, and I'm kind of this crazy person when it comes to research. I make sure, you know, I really love to research. So, anyway, so I'm kind of phasing out of that, but thank you. There's some great deals over there right now.
Yeah, I was looking at the deals, and in some of these kits, I just like the all-in-one kits. What I'm looking at, I think I might actually purchase myself, are the 27 assorted energy bars for $27. You can't pass that up. That's a good deal. And I think those are a must-have, especially for your automobile kits and your school kits and the kit you're going to keep in your desk at work, you know, your bug-out bag and whatever. And the real cool thing about prepping is that I don't know where you stand. I need to bugging out or staying in place, but I'm kind of prepared and ready for either eventuality. I can stay here for quite a while, but I can also be ready to buy. I can be ready to leave here in an hour. So I think that's important to, at least in my opinion, to be prepared for any eventuality. But of course, that's what prepping is being prepared for what we don't know is coming, but we have a feeling it's coming.
Right. Right, and I absolutely agree. I mean, I think you need to be prepared for both. We're prepared to hunker down and, you know, defend our castle, so to speak, if we need to, and to stay here. But we're also prepared to leave. And I think, you know, we're not. I kind of have a problem with the whole emergency preparedness label. I like to think of it more as self-reliance.
Yes.
And I think if you think of it more as living a self-reliant lifestyle, then you're prepared to deal with any eventuality. So you're, you know, if there's an earthquake or a flood or a forest fire or something like that, obviously you're going to have to bug out. But you know, for other things, it may be wiser to just stay put. And so I do think it's really important to be prepared for both eventualities.
Yeah, myself, at the very least, what I always tell people is in a societal collapse or in some sort of breakdown where you're going to have to rely on your survivalism skills and your preparedness, and people are bugging out, you don't want to be where a bunch of people are, because the worst thing is to be in an 80-mile-long traffic jam on the freeway where everyone's trying to bug out. So at least prepare to stay in your home for a few days after people have started to bug out, because you don't want to be where people are, you know. So it makes sense to be prepared for both ways, especially in that eventuality.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had friends who had to leave their homes in the San Diego fires. And, yeah, I mean, to go, what normally would take a half hour was 3 hours. And that was good. They lucked out. But, you can be, if people are all leaving at the same time, yeah, you can be stuck in traffic and run out of gas. And then what do? Your car's on the freeway with no gas. Then where are you? So, that's why I tell people, you know, people like who live in hurricane country and stuff like that, where, you know, there's warnings. This is going to be a Cat 4 and you better get out. I always tell them, get out. So what? If it turns out to be a Category 1 and nothing happens and, you know, But get out early so you're not stuck in the freeway. And, you know, it's sad, but people who are normally good people change very quickly during a crisis when they feel that their family is being threatened. And, you know, people have been, they've been robbed, they've, all kinds of things, you know, when they're stopped on the freeway because someone will look over and see you eating in your car and they'll come and they'll want your food because they haven't eaten for 7 hours because they've been stuck in this traffic jam. So, you know, I always tell people leave early if you're going to leave, and once you decide that you're not going to leave, stick with the decision, you know, for a few days and then get out if you have that option, you know, if you have an option.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you have to use a little discernment. You have to be able to see what's coming in and notice the signs. Like somebody in the chat room says, you know, stay at home when martial law hits. You stay at home, you're dead or a slave. Well, you have to kind of use discernment. Knowing what's coming is a lot of what preparedness is about. Keeping an eye on things and knowing. And I hope things don't get that bad. But with the way things are going, you really never know. And that's why we talk about prepping, because you just don't know. But if you're smart about it and you keep an ear to the ground, as they say, you pretty much can get an idea of what's coming down the pike. So I don't believe in that theory, you know, stay at home when martial law hits, you're either dead or a slave. That's not your only two options. If you know it's coming, you can avoid it or at least try your best. So I don't fall into that camp. I was looking at your story. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's, I always tell people, because I get accused of being a fearmonger, you know, and I try so hard not to do that. I mean, I try to give people information, you know, like when they cut off the water to the Central Valley. I did several posts on that and what that really meant and how such a huge percentage of our food comes from the Central Valley of California. I mean, you know, like 98% of some foods that we eat in the United States comes from one little valley in California. And I got accused of being a fearmonger. But you know what? I like to look at it as knowledge. You know, the more knowledge you have, the more you can deal with things. And they've done lots of studies on survivors of disasters. And those who survive the best are the ones who thought it out ahead of time. And so, I mean, I don't know about you, but I have laid in bed at night and thought, what would I do if there was a fire right now? How would I get my kids out? What would I grab? But, you know, and I've thought it through in my mind. And I think for some scenarios, we do that. And so I think the more that we think through, well, what would I do if martial law was declared? Here's my options. Well, I could do this, but, oh, I might run into that traffic jam there, or I might, you know, run into this here, or I might. The more you think through things, the better prepared you are when it actually happens.
Yeah, definitely. And I do think things through like that. You know, if there's a fire, you know, how can I get out? And here where I'm at in Michigan, we get some snow. And it's been a couple of decades since we've had a snow to where we've actually been snowed in. But what if you know you're snowed in? You have to think of all eventualities like that, and it all goes into being prepared. I mean, that's what preparedness is, and it's multi-level, multifaceted. You know, you have to be physically prepared, you have to be mentally prepared, you have to be spiritually prepared.
Right.
It's multifaceted. You really have to be prepared for any eventuality. And when you think about it, and you run it through your mind, like you were saying. When those situations, and God forbid those situations do happen, but when they do come up, you'll be ready to jump into action almost second nature because you've thought this out, you've planned it out in your head. So it's really important to go through those exercises like you were talking about.
Right, and I don't think people really understand. I mean, they think, well, you know, I'm well-educated, and I'm a reasonable person, and so I'll be okay. But I don't think people who have not been actually faced with a disaster, you know, some kind of a real disaster, a real crisis, I don't think they really understand how you kind of go brain dead. We have a friend who was in the San Diego fires. They got a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning from a friend. It was not even an official call. It was just from a friend who said, you have got to get out. You have to get out now. And so, you know, her husband turned to her and says, you know, honey, you wake up. I'll get the kids. You grab a few things. Meet me in the car. And he got the kids, you know, put them in their car seats, got ready to go. And he came back and she was packing her makeup. And she looked at him, you know, and he said, you know, honey, I meant the pictures on the wall, you know, our journal, the computer, you know. And she never did get past that. And she's a smart girl with several degrees, but it didn't make any difference. She just could not mentally get past that. He had to tell her, you know, you go and you grab this and this and this and bring it to the car. And then she could do it, but she had to be told exactly what to do because she couldn't get past the fact that I might never be back here. She just couldn't accept that. So, you know, so I don't think, no matter how smart you are, thinking through things and planning, so you're right. So it becomes more second nature. I think it's so smart.
Yeah, really. I was just looking at your blog really quick, and I ran across a section that I'll definitely be checking out, but I got to tell you, the frugal living section is right up my alley because that's something that I look for when I'm prepping. I look for the best deals. And I do that in general anyway. But with prepping, I look for the best deals because I can simply get more, you know. And the more you can get to prep up and store up, the better. So I'm definitely going to be checking out this blog. Man, I tell you what, I'm going to be spending probably all day tomorrow looking at that.
Good. Well, send me a note. Let me know what you think.
Let me know what else you'd like to see. Oh, you know, I'm looking over it, and there's so much on here. It's going to take me. Wow. I mean, I've just looking at it, I already see 10 categories that I want to just dive into right now. you know, especially the city dwellers section, with me being in the city. Food storage is a big thing that a lot of people don't understand. We talked about stocking up on canned goods and whatnot. But one thing I want to remind everyone is that you have to rotate also. Even though it's in a canned good, they don't last forever. They will last a lot longer than the date stamped on them, which
right.
I think is just a marketing ploy. And most states require that food products have a date stamped on them.
Well, you know why
I can
explain to you why they do that. They, especially with medications, tablet medications, anything that's a hard tablet or not a gel tablet, but a hard tablet, those will last a minimum of 2 years beyond the expiration date. And the reason that they put the expiration date on it so early, because they've done the testing, they know that they last much longer, but they put a very early expiration date on it because every year, like if something has a 5-year expiration, every year they have to retest that product to make sure that batch is still good. So if it only has a 2-year expiration, they only have to check it for twice. If it has a 5-year expiration, they have to go through the process of checking it, making sure it's good 5 times once every year. So they put the shorter date on it so that they don't have to deal with testing it so often. That's why.
Okay.
So
that
it's still
sense.
Good. It's still good. But the same with canned goods. They're still good for a minimum of 2 years beyond the expiration. But they've been tested 7 and 10 years, and they're still good. So.
Yeah, one thing I do want to mention about canned goods, if you have any cans that are bloated or you have rust on the lid or on the bottom, just get rid of them. Don't even worry about opening them up.
Right.
That's a couple of warning signs. And dented cans, too. If you have dented cans, try to use those up as soon as possible.
Right.
I've found a few things out working in the restaurant business that, yeah,
right.
You don't want to use any kind of bloated cans or any kind of cans with rust on them or anything like that.
I
was looking over. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just, as far as dented cans, I was just going to say when the other day I went and I was replenishing, maybe I should back up a second. On my blog, I encourage people to have a general store in their home. And so every Monday, I post things that you should add that week to your general store. And I did it, I do it a year at a time. And so the first year was food. So within a year, you had everything you needed for 3 months. And I mean everything, including, you know, ketchup and mustard and oil and spices and everything edible, everything that you would eat. And desserts. I am a big believer in desserts. So I rotate mine, but then I wait until everything goes on sale to replace it. I never go to the grocery store and buy anything that's not on sale anymore because I have my 3 month supply, so I don't have to. And so the other day they had something on sale, and you know, so I was getting 10 to replace what I'd used. And I take every single can and I feel all the way around the top and all the way around the bottom on the sides, because often the cans will be dented at the top or at the bottom of the can, but it's hidden by the label and you can't tell that it's dented until you get home and start putting them on the shelf and then you feel that it's dented. So when you buy something, you know, just run your hand around the side of the can at the top or the bottom and make sure there's no dents that are being hidden by the label before you buy it. And it takes a minute, but at least you don't get stuck with dented cans when you get home.
Yeah, it makes sense. I never would have thought of that. But that's great. You know, that's what I love about prepping is we can get together and talk about it. And there's things that you brought up that I never would have considered with the fruit juice and the canned fruit and the water and the vegetables. And those tips can be invaluable when you really need it. But one thing I did want to mention about your store is the different first aid kits you have, like the school kit and the first aid kit. Well, I mean, really good deals on this stuff. And I would encourage anyone to get a kit, to keep in your car especially.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about it, unfortunately, when things happen, chances are you're not going to be home. You're going to be either at work or on the road, on your way home, on your way to work, when you're going to need, you know, energy bars, a small supply of water, a little first aid kit, or an emergency blanket or a poncho, you know, things like that. So it just makes sense. And I'm looking at these kits that you have, and, you know, you guys got to check this out. And you said you're not going to be, you're trying to phase the store out.
Right.
So you've got some good deals on here. So, yeah, definitely check out these deals on here, guys. I'm going through it. And the little first aid kits, you have $15 for five of them, 33-piece first aid kit.
Yeah, they're small, they're compact, so they're perfect for hiking or in your glove box or, you know, something like that, in the desk at work. They don't take a lot of room. They're great stocking stuffers.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, they're good, you know, for – I just finished – talking about cars, I just finished writing a book, which is, I'm sure if you're on my blog, you can see it. It's totally ready for the road. But that's the latest book that I've written, and it's all about survival in your car. So it's if you click on the ebook section on the store site, the Totally Ready site, you can see a description of what's in it. But it's everything from, you know, how to change the tires and there's an accident report form that you fill out if you have an accident so you don't forget something later and you've got everything you need if they do take you to court. And then it goes all the way through, what do you do if your car goes off the road in a snowstorm and you're stuck for 2 days before someone finds you? How do you survive and how do you recognize if somebody's getting frostbite and how do you treat it before you're rescued? And so I think it's a really fun bag.
Yeah.
I think
hey,
it's what everyone needs to have in their car.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Yeah, we do have sponsors here, so I'm going to have to take a commercial break. But we'll come back, and we'll have about 18 or 19 minutes left to talk about whatever you want to talk about. How's that?
That's terrific.
All right. Hey, guys, you're listening to the Survival Cooking Show here on Freedomizer Radio. Yeah. Our guest today is Carolyn, and I don't want to butcher your last name again. I did it in my mind earlier. And her site is blog.totallyready.com, and her store, which she's phasing out. Got to check it out, totallyready.com. All right, we'll be back in about 3 minutes, guys. I'm going to play my required commercial breaks here. Thank you for listening to Freedomizer Radio.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, Freedomizers. Have you started your food storage yet? Are you dehydrating your own organic fruits and vegetables? Proof Negative here is going to tell you to check out dehydrate2store.com, where Tammy is going to show you how to dehydrate your own fruits and vegetables so that you can have the best food storage possible. Why waste money on inferior products when you could do it yourself? Easy. Check out dehydrate2store.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. The three W's dot theinternationalforecaster.com.
All right, Freedomizers. Hey, welcome back to the Saturday Survival Cooking Show. Real quick, I just want to remind everyone that Bob Chapman will be on the Proof Negative Show December the 7th next month, or this month. Wow, December already. That's Tuesday coming up. He's here the second Tuesday every month, but I think they rescheduled because of the holidays. All right. We've got about 16 or 17 minutes left with Carolyn from Totally Ready Blog and the Totally Ready Store. Welcome back to the show, Carolyn.
Thank you.
And I didn't want to butcher your last name, so I just preferred not to even say it. But you can tell everybody your full name if you want.
It's easy. It's Nicolaysen.
Okay. I'll get it one of these days. I'm sure I will. All right, really quick, we have a question. We have a question from the chat room. Do you have a strategy for selecting a sustainable and or more locally, economically, agricultural, secure region for personal or group relocation? Wow, that's a mouthful. I think you're in the chat room. Maybe you can make more sense of it than I can.
I am in the chat room. I'm not positive what they're asking, but I'm assuming they're asking, if I have a strategy or some suggestions for, you know, for a way to, for a group to plan to relocate together. Is that what you're asking? I'm not sure.
That's the gist of it, because the next comment was, up here in Colorado is tactically a good choice.
I don't know.
Okay. Hey, that's fair. We don't know everything here. We're learning as we go. That's all right.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's referring to there. So, yeah, okay.
one thing I could say is higher ground would definitely help.
Right.
That's important, higher ground.
Okay, so what he's asking is, so good bug out locations is basically then what this other person says, that's what we're meaning. Okay, what we have as a family, and what I know a lot of other people have done, is their bug out locations are with someone else in their home. So it's not necessarily bugging out to the wild someplace. It's bugging out to someone else who is already preparing to have you come and refuge with them, basically. And I like that idea, because so many times the disasters we're preparing for are localized disasters. Now, if we're talking about some kind of a war or Holocaust kind of a situation, then, you know, I mean, good luck, because I'm not sure there's going to be any place that's going to be safe. And I'm not sure being out in the wild away from everything is necessarily, it might be safe, but I'm not sure that it's going to be necessarily very survivable, unless you have really, really trained yourself well. Just, you know, everyone in your group, can they survive not only physically, but emotionally, mentally, if they're totally removed from the rest of society for months and months at a time? So that's why, you know, we have it in our home, so we're ready for our family to come here. But then I've also got kids who are ready in their home, so I can go there. And that's sort of the way that we've handled it. And I think it's the way that most of the people that I know are handling it, is that they find someone else of like mind that they can go and they can be with. And I've done a lot of interviewing people who have had to evacuate, and also interviewing people who have had to provide refuge. And there's, oh gosh, we could do a whole show on that. There's just so much to learn about how you prepare to provide refuge. There's a lot more there than you think. So it's a good thing to think about, but I don't know if that answers the question, or I'm trying to read the chat room really quick.
Yeah, that's fine. There are so many things about prepping, and when we get into conversations like this, you know, we'll get questions like that we've never really considered before. But that's good, because, you know, we don't have the answers, and when you get questions like that in the chat room, it gives you something else to research.
Well,
so I think I think that's important.
I do have, now for anybody who goes to my blog, I know you had the address in there before, but it's blog.totallyready.com. For anybody who downloads later and can't see the chat room, if you go to the blog, there is a link at the blog to our Yahoo group, and we have a terrific Yahoo group, and we do have people who are very self-reliant in that they really could live off of the land that they're living on, and they grow their own food, they can their own meat, they just do it all, and they are such a great resource, and much better than me, because I haven't lived that way, but they are living that way. So if for somebody who has that kind of a question, if they go on the Yahoo group and ask, they will probably get quite a few answers back, because they have real strong opinions. So check out the Yahoo group, no matter where you are with your prepping, if you're just beginning or whatever. We have a lot of new people, and especially this last couple of weeks since, you know, Glenn Beck has come out and said people should have food storage, we have a lot of new people who have never thought about it before, and they're just thinking about it and now and starting to ask questions. And I just want to mention really quick that I started 2 weeks ago, so it's not too long. It's really easy to catch up. But 2 weeks ago, I just started a food storage 101 class. And so taking food storage right from the very, very most basic things, and let's build on food storage and really learn to do it right. So it's nutritionally sound, and it's designed for your family. I hate when I go to a food storage site and they tell you to store so many pounds of this and so many cans of this and so much of this. It drives me kind of crazy, because I don't think anyone can decide for your family what you should store. But there is a system, so you can learn to do it yourself. And that's what I try to help people to learn, you know, how to decide for your own personal family so that you know what foods you like and what foods you don't like and what your allergies are or medical conditions are and that kind of thing. That, you know, you learn the system, which is extremely easy to learn, and then you decide for yourself. You know, some of these sites, I know one site tells you to store like 5 gallons of oil. I wouldn't use 4 gallons of oil for 6 people in a year, no less for one. You know, so that's what I try to help people do, is to learn how to figure out for your own needs, your own family, what you should store, and so it's all nutritionally balanced. So if anybody is just starting food storage, they might go to the blog and check out those first 2 food storage 101 posts, and I will continue that every Monday, so they can check back on Mondays and see what the newest thing is.
One thing that you mentioned is that prepping is very specific. What works for me isn't going to work for you.
Right.
So you know you have to get as much information about it as possible, because I live in the city, and what works for folks in the country, as we call it here, farmland, isn't going to work for me here in the city. I don't have a well. I don't have a large garden. So I have to adapt to my area. And
right.
I bring me back to your blog site, and I love that. I got to tell you, I just said in the chat room to one of my friends, Mark, that I'm going to be up late tonight, and I meant that I'll be looking at your site.
Well, good. And please let me know if you see of anything there that you don't think I've covered that you'd like for me to. I'd appreciate that. So
well,
I'd like
you
to.
I'll tell you what. From the looks of the blog, it's going to take me a couple of weeks to look through it all to see if there's something that you haven't covered. But it looks, I mean, just looking at it, it looks really good. And really quick, we've got about 7 minutes left, and I do have a caller with a question, if you don't mind taking a call.
That would be great.
Okay, area code 309, you're on the air with Carolyn on the Survival Cooking Show.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was the one with the question in the chat room and wanted to describe just a little bit where that was coming from. I am considering peak oil and long-term emergency, as one author, forget the name of the author, puts it, but it's for the possibility of longer-term economic trouble and decline, but with the possibility of creating newer, more sustainable cities and local economies that operate. For instance, I describe at my Model Sustainable Cities website a renewable ammonia corridor value cycling engine, which is a mouthful again, just like my question was, but it looks for renewable ammonia as a fertilizer and energy carrier and also fuel, and also helps with desalinating ocean water as well. But it's a large-scale project that would require a number of already existing cities to partner together. And it might not be directly related to bugging out on an individual or a couple family level, but just trying to look at where society might have to go whenever we start to discover that there is more danger to our world and more opportunity, even more opportunity for hope and reconstruction after possible longer-term emergencies. So I hope that makes some sense and clears up a little bit of where the question was, but as was being said, we're all learning as we go, so
right.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah, and thank you for clarifying that. I just did a self-reliance expo in Salt Lake City, and there was a company there who had solar generators, and he's written a book, and gosh, I wish I had it now. I'm going to have him on my show. I don't have the book right now. I can't tell you the name of it, but I do have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio on Tuesday nights. It's called Ready or Not, and I will have him on the show, but not until January. But that's kind of what he's doing, is he is helping to plan communities where the whole community would be completely self-sustaining, so they would be totally off the grid. And it's fascinating to me, but I just really don't know all that much about it. But I did several magazine articles and several articles in my newsletter on EMPs and solar flares and what that meant as far as, you know, taking us back to the pioneer days if the grid is down for months at a time. And so I do have some real concerns. I really do believe that the grid going down is a real, real possibility. It's terrible. Our infrastructure here is so bad and so old that it is something I worry about. So I do think that building communities that are more self-sustainable is definitely the wave of the future. And I wish I had money to invest, because I think and at some point that's going to be the way we have to go. But I'm definitely not an expert.
Sure, thank you, and I'll go ahead and log off. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for your call. That's great. All right, Carolyn, we have about 4 minutes left before I have to clear out of here and let Val in for the Sabbath show. So why don't you take a few minutes and give everybody all the important information that we might have missed, or some of it.
Okay. Well, you have my blog address, blog.totallyready.com. And if anybody wants to talk to me, email me. My email is Carolyn, Carolyn, @totallyready.com. And I also have a Facebook page, Totally Ready. You can see the pattern here. and then I do have a show on the Preparedness Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. That's one of, you know, Dr. Prepper's shows, but my show, Ready or Not, is on Tuesday nights at 6. So I do have that too. And a great Yahoo group, like I said before, just terrific people in it, and some great discussions going on there. So, but I do love to, I'd love to answer people's questions, because it's the way I learn, and, you know, it does a lot of good for me, too, to be able to answer people's questions. So, and I just would encourage anybody who's just starting to get started in food storage to please check out the blog and get started now with those Food Storage 101. I think you'll find it's a really easy system, and something that, you know, you can, I love my food storage, and I did have a lot of hints for city dwellers on where to store and stuff like that too. So
yeah, we're excited.
It is really possible to do all of this while you're living in the city.
Yeah, it is. I'm proof. I'm proof of it, because I've lived in the city all of my life. So it can be done. And one thing, one really quick, a lot of folks say to me, well, I can't afford to prep. My advice to anyone who thinks that, you can't afford to not prep. Even
right.
A little bit of prep is better than none whatsoever. So I know it seems overwhelming to even get started in it, but if you just concentrate on one thing, spend an extra $10 a week at the grocery store, buy some canned goods, and start up your pantry like that. Doesn't take much.
That is one of the things in. That's one of the things in one of the first two posts that I did on Food Storage 101. That's one of the things I talked about was some tips for how you can do it. You know, where you can free up money and, you know, how you can do it. And let me tell you, this is Christmas and Hanukkah. This is the perfect time to ask people for gifts. You know, ask them for prepping gifts. Ask them for a case of corn or, you know.
Right.
Rethink your priorities a little bit and don't worry so much about things you don't need and, you know, a new tie or something like that. But let people know what you want. And, you know, get a case of brownie mix. I'm telling you, I believe in dessert.
Yes, I love desserts. Chocolate is one of my favorites. So I always say stock up on chocolates, too. Have a little bit of chocolate in your pantry. You never know.
Well, I just, you know, I think in a true emergency, especially if you have children, in a real emergency where you are living off of that food storage, if you can have a dessert, even if it's just once or twice a week, if you can have a dessert, then it makes all that rice and oatmeal and all that other stuff so much more palatable.
Great. Carolyn, I just got the 90-second mark. I want to thank you for joining us this time. And I do a show here at Freedomizer, 6 Eastern, every Monday that's all about prepping for 2 hours. So if you want to join me anytime, you're more than welcome to join into the fun on that.
That would be great. We need to talk. I would love to do that.
Great. Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us. And tell Dr. Prepper we all said hello over here.
Okay, I will. Thank
all
you
right,
so
take
much.
Care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right, guys, definitely go check out the website, blog.totallyready.com, and also totallyready.com. All right, Velvet Isle is coming up next with the Sabbath Show. Stick around for that. You will need to refresh your browsers in about a minute. Guys, I'll be back on Common Sense Radio tomorrow morning, and then my 5-day-a-week show on Freedomizer Radio, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Until I see you again, take care and God bless.